Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
First and 10 Patriots from their own one-yard line. Look at this. Brady's going to go with an empty backfield. Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught! 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance. A 99-yard touchdown play.
Break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. The man everyone loves, especially the quarterback, Pete Shepherd.
I love Pete. I always appreciate
Shepherd. Well,
hello. What's up, Patriots Nation? How are you? Pete Shepherd here. First show of the week. Usually I'll be here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, but because of Monday Night Football, just Wednesday and Thursday this week. Tomorrow, we'll have the lowdown with Brian Lowe, the fantasy lowdown and that stuff coming up in the first hour. But today, lots of recap, lots of talk about the Patriots. Really a very nice win over the Miami Dolphins down south. And, of course, a big matchup coming up this week, which could be a preview of the AFC Championship. Yes, very early, but certainly I think San Diego always seems to be, talent-wise anyway, one of the best teams in the NFL. Certainly, statistically last year, despite the 2-5 start, because their special team sucked so bad, they still made a run at the end, but, they just couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it. But this will be one hell of a game coming up on Sunday. I'm absolutely convinced of it. So first, let me set the stage here. I'll be here until 6 o'clock tonight. Then you can, if you miss the show or whatever, tell your friends. You can have the podcast. You can still download it, right? There's all sorts of ways to download it. Just head to patriots.com. It's the Pete Shepherd Show right now. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Email me at webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Also, my Facebook page is open. Just post it right to my wall. Don't do any private messages. Pain in the butt to go check out the private messages. Just post it right to my wall. And I promise, as you guys know, I read everything. So I'm hoping that we hear a lot from you. Also want to talk about, a couple of topics. I know that everybody's probably been talking about this all day. But, Chad Ochocinco, is anybody concerned that he only had one catch, was only thrown to three times, I think, out of 70 offensive plays by the Patriots? Or the factors that John and I just talked about, a couple of them, first of all being – the main reason why was the no-huddle offense that the Patriots ran, and I think a lot of that, that's a big part of it. Teddy Bruschi's comment on WEI yesterday, scathing criticism of 85. And we'll play that for you in case you missed it. And somebody sent me a message on the Internet early today about that stupid, and I know Matt already played it on the other show, but at the end of the show, I'm going to play it again. It's an entirety, because you have to really hear it in its entirety, because only in its complete entirety can you appreciate its full stupidity, which is the commercial that the St. Louis Rams put together. And was it the organization itself that put it together? They put together a fan commercial of how to root for the Rams because they think it's so quiet there. And I'm not sure who exactly put it together. Was it like the state of Missouri? I can't possibly see. Did St. Louis Rams PR department put this thing together?
That's the organization that gets run on the Jumbotron at games.
Wow. So this was not like some independent company that did this. This is somebody affiliated with the St. Louis Rams.
And it's Rams rules.
Yeah, Rams rules. We'll get to Rams rules later on in the show in the second hour. Don't want to get into that now because I need an hour and a half to brace myself for the stupidity, and I'd probably fall off the chair laughing. And you will, too. If you haven't heard it yet, we'll play it again. And it's just absolutely one of the most pathetic. Like, it's something that you want to hear, like, the San Diego Supercharger song, which is, like, ridiculous in itself.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
Exactly, Ron. Exactly, Ron Burgundy. But I would rather listen to San Diego Supercharger 100 times in a row than listen to this pathetic St. Louis Rams commercial that they did. But we'll get into all that a little bit later. I didn't say now. I did not say now. And what is going to be very, very interesting, and I know people, and maybe you've forgotten about last year's contest in San Diego. I, of course, have not. It was October 14th, I believe, in San Diego last year. The Patriots came away with a 23-20 win. They were winning that game soundly last year. I think it was 20-7 or something going into the fourth quarter. And then San Diego made a pretty good comeback, and they missed a field goal right at the end. if I remember correctly. Chris Brown? Yeah, Chris Brown missed a field goal with 23 seconds left. I was pulling up the recap from last year's game, but I pretty much remember it. And I remember the turnovers. Remember the dump turnovers the Chargers had in that game? Remember how bad their special teams was early on last year? Didn't look too good on the opening kickoff on Sunday either when Percy Harvin ran back 103-yard touchdown, kickoff return for a touchdown. But that was a wacky game last year in San Diego. It looked like the Patriots were going to win that game 50-3 or something, and it didn't turn out that way. They had a big lead into the fourth quarter, and then they just kind of sat on their heels a little bit, and San Diego nearly came back and pulled it off. Again, Phillip Rivers had like 338 yards passing, but again, it's one of those games I talk about. They're down by 17 points going into the fourth quarter, so I expect those numbers to be high. I think Brady only had 159 yards passing in that game. He did. 159 yards pad, one touchdown, and Rivers had was 34-50 for 336. But that's because, you know, they're down by 17 points going into the fourth quarter. That's not to say, you know, some good plays weren't made, and the Patriots could have played a little bit better, especially when it got to be nearly a tie game. But, hey, Chris Brown missed the field goal last year, 50 yards. That would have tied it, hit the upright, and the Patriots went on to win 23-20. And the San Diego Chargers has played like morons in that game, if you remember. Now, I don't know what's going to happen on Sunday. One thing I do know, and I like I said, this is going to be, I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game, maybe one of the more high-scoring games of the year. And that's saying a lot when you're playing the Patriots in the offense. But I think you're looking at a very similar type of game like Green Bay and New Orleans played. And it's just the way the league is. And I know it's week one. This will be week two. It doesn't mean because Green Bay gave up 34 points against New Orleans that Green Bay's got some half-assed defense, nor does it mean the same for New Orleans. Nor will it mean for the Patriots if these teams play into the high 30s, low 40s. Because that's quite frankly what I expect. You're talking about, when I bring up the Patriots, San Diego, Green Bay, New Orleans, to me, those are the top four offenses in the league. By far. Not even a close. Just those four. There isn't even a close fifth, not even remotely close. And with the Patriots in San Diego, in my opinion, you're talking about the top two, and Green Bay is right there. I mean, you could actually lump Green Bay in as second. I still think the Patriots have overall the better offensive talent overall because of the tight ends, but not by much, just a little bit. But certainly, you know, the Chargers, Green Bay, and New Orleans have great offenses. I think the Patriots have the best one. And after those four, I don't want to hear about anybody else. There's nobody else that comes close to competing at that level offensively with those four teams. Just isn't. Maybe proven wrong at the end of the year. Maybe the Buffalo Bills score 40 points every game. I don't know. But that's the way I see it. So I firmly expect this Patriots-San Diego game to be filled with incredible offensive highlights. I mean, last year, the way the Chargers played in that game, you had, you know, Goodman left the ball on the ground. Remember that? They had the lateral pass that went off Hester's hands that Ninkovich picked up and nearly ran it back for a touchdown. I think it was brought down at the 5-yard line. That kind of stupidity, the Chargers were last year early on. I mean, I suppose that could happen again, but I tend to doubt it. That was a fluky, weird, wacky, kooky kind of a game last year in San Diego. And the Patriots were fortunate enough to come away with a 23-21 after building a 17-point lead heading into the fourth quarter. So that being said, you know, San Diego won last week 24-17 over Minnesota. They looked okay. You know, they were down a lot of that game, trailing a lot of that game. And that's with Donovan McNabb passing for only 39 yards, which was absolutely pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. And you had, you know, Adrian Peterson, I think, had 98 yards in that game. But, I don't know, it was kind of a quiet 98 yards, to be honest with you. I watch a lot of that on the Red Zone channel, which, by the way, is just the, you know, just doesn't get any better than that. Does not get any better than the Red Zone channel on a Sunday when the Patriots don't play. It is just absolutely sports orgasmic. Unbelievable. To just be able to sit there for 7 hours and watch the Red Zone channel and not miss a beat. They just do a fantastic job. Fantastic job. The Chad Ochocinco thing to me is interesting. And again, the Patriots, I believe, ran, what, 70 offensive plays, I think, on Monday night. And they threw to Chad three times. He had one catch for 14 yards. He threw to Matthew Slater two times. He had one catch for 46 yards. You know what the tight ends did. I said last week, sometimes, when you nail a game, it wasn't just me, but I mean, that game, the way it broke down, and it happened exactly about what I thought would happen. About 95-98% of it. That the Dolphins would probably look decent early. They might even have a lead. Be back and forth for a while to the third, end of the third quarter, the Patriots take over. And I said unequivocally that there is no way in hell that Gronkowski and Hernandez were going to be stopped. No way. And that might be the case for most of the year. And if they do stop those guys, then that's going to leave Welker and hopefully Chad and Deion Branch, who also had a great game. And that's the other thing. See, this is the other thing about preseason. How many times do we hear the criticism of Deion Branch, Kevin? It was just ridiculous. Where is he? Why isn't he showing up? And he has, a monster game on Monday. Can't say enough, obviously, about Welker. He always gets 95-plus yards against Miami. Didn't expect 99 of it on one play, but he had over 160-something, whatever it was. It was just ridiculous. Brady was just, just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And if you go back and I watch some of the game again this morning, it really is what a pleasure from a football standpoint. And knowing Bill a little bit, Belichick, I think when he watches that film and you see the way Hernandez and Gronkowski, how those two guys, and I'm sure he thinks it's much of the offense, but how those two guys are playing like they have been 20-year veterans. It is unbelievable. Gronkowski, if you go back and watch, if you DVR the game and go back and watch Gronkowski, just watch 12 play offensive plays in a row. Forget what happens. Watch Gronkowski, what he does. And that touchdown that he caught, one of them, right? He had two, right? Or one? I can't remember.
Gronkowski had one.
He had one. Hernandez could have had two, Hernandez did have two, right? He could have had three. Right? They had three touchdowns combined? No, two touchdowns. I'm sorry, two touchdowns. Hernandez is the one that slid into the end zone and was touched at the end. But watch Gronkowski's, the catch he makes on that touchdown pass. Go back and watch that play. How he gets free. How he's silly, literally at the line blocking for the first 4 seconds of that play. And then runs that little, out pattern. Breaking free. That's football, baby. And man, I love like kind of old school type football as far as, when fullbacks and tight ends can get involved. And man, what weapons. What a pleasure it is to watch those two guys on this offense with all those other great players out there. Not to mention the offensive line. And once again, we talked about Cameron Wake last week a lot. And he's an impressive human being, a great football player. And really, really, you have to give kudos, a lot of kudos, to Nate Solder, who did pretty much a terrific job. I mean, Cameron got by him once or twice a little bit, caused a little bit of pressure. But for the most part, Solder did great. And by the way, in case you missed, I don't know if John talked about this at practice today, who missed it. Did John mention who missed practice today?
I don't know. I wasn't here.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Matt was here. But just so you know, today is that Vollmer was indeed back at practice.
Good sign.
Was a good sign. Bodden, Wright, obviously Dan Copen, were not at practice today. And it looks like Copey's going to be out 6 to 10 weeks. That's the initial reports, unless you're hearing anything different from me. But that's too bad. That was the only bad play, Brady, on the quarterback sneak. And you just, when he was lying there and immediately, they were calling for it, it just didn't look good. So and I love Kobe. He's great. But the Patriots have, succeeded in situations like this before when Kobe's gone down. I mean, Hochstein did a great job a couple years ago when Dan went down. And now Dan Conley's going to have to step in also. Is that Solak? Tell Solak to come in here. He's like a freaking model. What are you doing, slumming the streets?
Yeah,
Lois, get on the microphone for a second.
How are we doing?
Doing great. What are you doing?
Live?
We're live, baby.
No, this can't be live.
We're live. We're live.
It's like real radio.
Did you just get off with your little show there with Andy Gresh?
Yeah.
So what's going on? What are you doing? Is this the day you taped with Bill or what?
Yeah, we already taped with Bill this morning and did a couple other shows, Patriots this week. And we just did our little turf segment. And I have some good stories. Ah,
See, I don't have a turf segment. I have a turd segment.
That's a nice shirt.
It's 84.
Where'd you get that? The Ron John Surf Shop?
No, I tell you, I didn't get it on Aruba. I think it's 84 degrees outside.
It's good to see Pete Stugat Shepherd.
84 degrees outside. So what's up? I haven't seen you in a while. How's the
I haven't seen you either, but everybody's good. Everybody's doing well. Now we're in regular season mode. And everybody's
maybe have
busy.
Me guest on your show someday.
I'd be nice. That'd be nice if you didn't take flamethrowers to every place. That's what's he gonna burn this place down?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, everything. So I tell you what, just looking at, I mean, you guys talked about in your show today on the Sports Hub, and I'm saying already, prediction wise, to me, this is going to be very similar to New Orleans and Green Bay, and it's not going to be a huge reflection on the defenses because these are two extremely talented offenses, and unless San Diego really craps out like they did last year early and turns the ball over crazy and does stupid things, which I don't anticipate, I think to me this could be the first team to get to 45 wins. I just expect a high-scoring game because it's one of those rare occasions like Green Bay and New Orleans. It's just too many great weapons to stop on both sides.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch, and I think people – I don't want to say mistook, but you look at the Miami game when you break it down further. You take the first drive out of it and you take the garbage time at the end of the game when the Patriots are up, you know, by almost three scores and you're allowing that underneath stuff. You're allowing the yards to accumulate. They basically defensively held them to 128 yards, all that crunch time in between. So defensively, it was not a bad game. I thought from the get-go, Rashad Dowling on the road, rookie, Monday Night Football, held his own. McCourty struggled early in the game playing the ball at sometimes,
but
he got back into it, Pete. That was the best Tom Brady I've seen in 12 years. And there's a hell of a lot of games to pick from where Brady's been really good, but in control. And it seems like they've advanced, I don't want to say advanced things from him, for him, but it looks like Peyton Manning, where he's getting to the line of scrimmage in that hurry up mode. He's checking off things. And that foot, I think, really bugged him last year where he won't talk about it. Team won't talk about it. But the broken foot at the end of the year, I think it made him immobile, and he moved around a couple times. He had that nice evadability where he slid to the side, and bought himself some time in the pocket. And I thought he played phenomenal.
Is this Chad Ocho? And I heard some of your show today.
Ocho Cinco.
I think the Ocho Cinco thing is getting just right now after week one is just a tad overblown. I appreciate what Teddy said on EIS.
Yeah.
We're going to play. I mean, I understand where he's coming from. I'm just wondering though. I just think the way the game...
They're not used to having a guy like that around here that comments about the game in the social media.
It's not even
that's part of it.
But people are panicking because about how many touches he got and everything else. I think the way that game took place, the no-huddle offense, I think, had a
Why put him out there then?
A ton to do. No, I'm
why,
saying...
Why let him screw up? That's what I'm saying. If you're going hurry-up mode,
saying.
And people look into the Billy O'Brien comments, and you know, we talked about it on our show, that... You know, it's going to change week to week, and it's going to be, well, Chad will be more part of it or less part of it as the weeks go on.
Yep.
And if you got a guy that's moving and doesn't understand the two-minute mode and you've got to think on the fly, and if he's not ready for that yet, why put a round peg in a square hole and make him look bad on national television?
I totally agree, but I think, you know, around here, you know, remember last year when they lost to Cleveland, all hell was going to break loose. They're never going to win again. Of course, they didn't lose again. But, I mean, it's the same thing. I think you got to cut this guy just a little, give him a couple weeks.
I said that today. I said, what's the Joey Galloway drop dead date?
You know what?
Galloway stuck around for a while.
You were on the same page.
It was the Atlanta game.
Rook
and it was him and Sam making it at
the
same time. Brady's like, guys, it's not that complicated. It's not that hard.
I'm glad you brought that up.
One of those weeks is going to come. Where is it, 6 or 7?
I didn't hear you say Galloway mentioned, but I mentioned it to Rook. I said, this is not Joey Galloway. So this guy's got a lot more left in the tank. Joey, you knew in the first couple of games, something wasn't right.
I watched pregame warm-ups down there. The way Chad runs the routes, the way he works out before the game, he's into it. He looks like the best receiver in pregame warm-ups. He needs to make those pregame warm-ups look like game speed, and he's not there yet.
No, he's not. I think he will be. But what do you think of Teddy's comments? You think he was a little out of line? Did you agree with him? I mean,
I think Teddy's a fiery guy. He's been one of the leaders on his team. He doesn't stand for guys that stand on the sides and talk and compliment the team. Either you're on the train or you're off the train. It's been the saying around here. Bus is leaving with or without you. Bus leaves at 1 if you're not on it. We're departing, baby. Catch your own ride to the airport. Call JetBlue or someone. All right.
Zoe, you're the man.
Pete, it's good seeing you, baby. We love you, man.
Thanks.
All right.
Hope to see you
soon.
Give me some
good Italian food. Hook me up.
Hey, how was your mom with the pierogies? I mean, what's that all about?
We'll get the good Polak food rolling, yeah. And maybe we do the Gronkowski hour or something. Get mom down
I'll tell
from
you
Albany.
What. No, let me just real quick on him, though.
Is he polka music back there, K-Dog?
Is he not? Today I was just telling the listeners out there, I watched focused on like 15 offensive plays this morning, just rewatching the game.
He's unstoppable.
Just watch him. What a pleasure it is to see that guy, you know, do what he does. All right, Zoe, you're the man. There's plenty of pizza. Take what you want.
I would take slices of pie.
Yeah, take like five. Perillo didn't left like three boxes, so which is rare. He's just big boned. Big heart. Scott Zolak, former Patriot quarterback, and I didn't get into how ugly the Maryland Terps uniforms are, but that's for another time. Yeah, they those uniforms suck. He's out the door. In like, you know, he's unbelievable. Just blows right in here and blows right out. Scott Zolak, thanks for stopping by. One of my favorite people on the planet. Love Zoe. He has a keen perspective on what's going on. But see, he and I are on the same page as far. I think you got to, with Ocho Cinco, you kind of got to just relax for a second here, people. I always talk about the big picture, okay? You can't just go crazy in one game because Ocho Cinco got thrown through three times out of 70 offensive plays. You got to break. You got to look at that game the way it was played, the hurry-up offense. And that's a huge part of it. Why put him out there to look bad if he's just not ready for that yet? And you can make a case that some other rookies happened in the past, that's fine, but everybody's different. So I'm willing to give Chad, you know, a couple of weeks here to get it going. And it very well may come this week. It very well may come this week. He catches three or four balls for, you know, 80 yards and a couple of touchdowns. No one's ever going to remember in 10 weeks what happened in week one when he only caught one pass for 14 yards. Trust me. Ain't going to be the case. It's the Pete Shepherd Show live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Email us at webradio@patriots.com. You can also Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, PETESHEPPARD. I'll get to as many comments as I can. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline as well, 508-298-0398. In case you missed the Teddy comments on EEI, we'll play that. We're also going to hear from Bill Belichick and Tom Brady at some point during the show today. They're during their press conferences. Nothing worth shattering, but you might be interested in a couple of questions asked to Bill about 85. And I won't ruin it for you in case you haven't heard it, but I can tell you this, nothing overly earth-shattering today. But Tom Brady did have some advice for some of the fans out there. We'll get to that as well. All part of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com as we do it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We're back after this.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly to China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
Oh, I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Back here on the Pete Shepherd Show. How you doing? Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. I broadcast live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Lots to talk about coming up at the 5 o'clock hour. Scott Blair from the North County Times. He's the beat writer for the San Diego Chargers. And we'll get talk to him and see what he knows that we don't about the Chargers. And I don't know how many of you watched some of the game on Sunday, whether via the
Go
ticket or
yourself,
exactly, or on the now the Red Zone channel, but I mean, not all that impressive, to be honest with you. Playing a pretty mediocre Minnesota team, and Minnesota had the lead right off the bat, and I think was up 17-7 in that game before they came back, and before San Diego came back and won 24-17. Well, we shall see. Like I said, I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game coming up on Sunday. I'll wait for my final predictions tomorrow. And by the way, I'll go over my other predictions for the week coming up. And just a quick recap before I get to the emails. But again, my picks last week, and I promised like 60-some percent. I only gave you 50%. However, I went 7-7-2. But my Pete the Meat miraculous monster pick was the Dallas Cowboys plus the number and plus the five. And they pissed that game away at the end. Should have won it outright, but they covered. So really, and I'm really 1-0. Which is all I, which is my super duper lock or miraculous pick of the week. That's all you have to say. Webradio@patriot.com. First up today, Jake from Michigan. Jake says, "You need to do the post game show or at least call in. Listening to Pac-Man, you would have thought we lost." Oh, please tell me he's not one of these guys that just has to be the contrarian just to, like, you know, make what he thinks is good radio. I hope to God not. "I need a little Pete for after a loss and after a win. Anyways, I'm not concerned about Ocho because in the no-huddle branch, and Welker are going to be out there with the two tight ends. I expect him to be 60 catches, 8 touchdown guy this year. Us fans need to stop overreacting to everything we see in one game. Pete, you're the best, and that's not fact or opinion. That's fact, not opinion. Thank you very much. I appreciate that." Now, I didn't listen to the, I just, you know, And Adam's a young guy. I don't know. I didn't hear the show. I can't really comment. But you know what? If anybody, again, that game went exactly how I thought it would go. Kevin was here last week. I said, "Look, this is going to be a tough game down there opening night. Patriots are going to be nip and tuck for a while. They're going to pull away, probably win by 10 to 14 points in the end." I said 34-24. The final was 38-24. You can't sit here week after week and just blatantly, you know, once go overreact about every little last play. Sometimes you got to actually tip your hat to the other team in a lot of ways. When this team deserves unbridled criticism like they did last year when they lost to Cleveland, that's fine. No problem. Certainly there are a lot of things they can improve on what happened on Monday night. No question about it. But it's opening game. I think overall, we need to stop acting like a bunch of spoiled brats overall, a lot of us. And that includes some people in the media who go away. I mean, I read articles on Sunday, both papers. I thought Tom Brady was in a rest home, didn't you? I thought he was in a rest home. You know, I didn't know at 34 years old you can be washed up as a quarterback after being the unanimous MVP. All you heard was story after story after story about how the clock is ticking like Brady is some 40-plus-year-old woman who wants to have a child. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. Where does this stuff come from? Have they run out of stuff to write about or what? I would rather rehash some of the old stuff or whatever than just try to, I know everybody's trying to have an edge and get this and get that story and have a little insight to what they, you know, something that nobody else has. But there was like five stories in the local media last Sunday about Brady being, you know, the clock is ticking. Tick this. 517 yards. The guy was unanimous MVP 6 months ago, for Christ's sake. It's unbelievable to me that so many media people just sit there and reach and reach and reach for crap that isn't going to be there, trying so hard to be different, to be the contrarian, the fake contrarian, the honorable contrarian. They just want to be fair. When this team sucks, believe me, I'll tell you, it doesn't happen often. Against Cleveland last year, they sucked. Against the Jets last year in the playoff game for about 2.5 quarters, they sucked. Disappointing. But just because they don't win every single damn game.
We suck again.
Yeah, I know. Just because they don't win every game 34-10 doesn't mean there's something wrong. Why is it that we've become so spoiled that every game has to be 34-10 or 42-10? And if not, if everybody doesn't make every single play the way they're supposed to, then there's something wrong. And everybody needs to just pile on. Started with Devin McCourty. Yeah, okay, he struggled a little bit in the first quarter. So what? He redeemed himself. He was fine. He really had a pick in the end zone. A couple of plays. You really worried about Devin McCourty in this team? I said last week I was more concerned about Lee Bodden. I thought he played pretty well for the most part. And Henny had all those yards. Yeah, again, Henny had all those yards when they're down by a lot of it was, I mean, the first drive of the, it was 14-14. He was okay. You know, he had a couple of nice throws, a couple of great catches. That one-handed catch by Fasano was phenomenal.
Fasano had three big catches.
And he's another guy I brought up last week, Matt. You weren't here. And I said, and even the two guys I had on from Miami, you know, kind of poo-pooed Fasano. I said, all I know is this guy, every time he plays against the Patriots, comes up big. He did it with Dallas, and he's doing it here, I mean, with Miami. Didn't surprise me at all. He had three huge catches. I mean, one was a spectacular one, the one-handed catch. So, I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just so Mr. – maybe I'm just – I mean, I know the players to give credit to. And I know the ones not – I mean, you just – there's no reason to sit and pile on some of the defensive players because of what happened. You're playing the opening game in Miami, a hot and humid place, and what the most shocking thing was to me was how out of shape Miami was down the stretch of that game, or parts of even in the middle. The Patriots just wore them down. You talk about needing flu. I mean, conditioning, all that stuff. Whatever happens before they take that kickoff, the Patriots do it right, and so many teams don't get it. I mean, there are guys cramping, oxygen, IVs, Miami, all this stuff. And you just don't see a lot of that stuff with the Patriots. You just don't. I am just so gosh damn sick and tired of some of these media people. And I'm talking locally now. Nationally was a freaking, just the opposite. I thought more nationally people would be going. Instead, it's locally. Everybody's just trying to get their little edge and little niche so they can come up with something first. They end up making jackasses out of themselves in so many of these stories that don't make sense. It doesn't fit. Brady's clock is ticking. It's not, I got news for you. It ain't ticking. Most quarterbacks peak in their 30s. He's 34 years old. He's got a lot of football left. A lot of football left. I don't know where some of this stuff comes from. The guy's a unanimous MVP last year, and all of a sudden, you know, maybe, you know, with this coach and this offense, all of a sudden he might lose it. Where does it come from? You're just making stuff up. that you think exists. It doesn't exist, only in some of your feeble little minds. You know what? The day he starts throwing more interceptions than touchdowns in a single year, then you might have something. Until then, zip it about his age and about what he's able to accomplish.
That's so ridiculous.
You are making jackasses out of yourselves, a lot of you. Locally and nationally, it's become a love fest. Jesus, John Gruden, unbelievable. His thoughts. Somebody brought this up the other day, and I agree. What's happening is, because Peyton Manning isn't there, they're a little binky nationally for years, so now they're going to latch on to Tom Brady and the Patriots. You know? And like I said, Peyton Manning's a great quarterback. Brady's a great quarterback. I just think Brady done more, at times done more with less, and certainly has achieved more professionally in his career. Period. Doesn't mean Peyton Manning is not a great quarterback. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Brady's just better. But I got to tell you, I am just fed up with some of the stories you read. It's this overreaction of stuff every single week. And then they wait for that one time. They wait for like a Cleveland game to come up like last year. And then they just try. See,
they're not that good. You see.
And then they go on to win the next 12 games, and they're like, sorry. They don't know what to do. If you had said last year to many people that the Patriots would win the next 12, I guess, after the Cleveland loss, they would have told you, you're out of your mind. And the only thing I said last year was this offense was going to be a wrecking machine. I said it would come close to what it was in 2007. And it did. Nearly did. All right? Yes, they lost to the Jets in that horrible playoff game. Not going to rehash that. You know how I feel about it. You know what I think could have happened if we had the butterfly effect and Crumpler catches that first touchdown. But besides that, this year, the offense is going to be just as good as last year and maybe even a little better. As long as everybody obviously stays reasonably healthy. This team is a freaking wrecking machine again. And, you know, to deny it is crazy. That doesn't mean you can't criticize certain times of the year, coaching decision here, a play there, that stuff. But this overall general, if you're writing it on the air afterwards and you are complaining about a lot of what happened on Monday night, then you don't get it. You don't get it, and you don't understand the NFL as a whole. And maybe you just don't watch enough games, which I think is a lot of people's problems anyway. I think a lot of people just don't watch enough games around the league. They focus on who the Patriots are playing and the Patriots, and that's it. Do you think down in New Orleans after they lost to the Green Bay on Thursday night, you think, and maybe they are, I don't know this, but do you think they are ready to, you know, kill themselves because they lost a game that they very easily nearly stole at the end if it wasn't for a horrible coaching call by Sean Payton on the 1 yard line and an earlier one on a fourth and goal at the 10 yard line on a fourth and one? Too horrible. And yes, you give Green Bay credit for stopping those plays, but I blame more New Orleans because it was so obvious what they were going to do. And it shocked the hell out of me that they didn't spread it out and they nearly had a chance to win that game with a 2-point conversion at the end. Now you think because the way their defense played against a great Green Bay team that all of a sudden that makes New Orleans a sucky defense? It doesn't work that way. Every game is its own separate entity. Now, if the Buffalo Bills came in here and put up 35 points on the Patriots, maybe you have an issue. Kansas City Chiefs, Tampa Bay, you know, teams I think that suck, you know, or are mediocre at best. Donovan McNabb with 39 yards, stuff like that.
Pete, I saw an awesome stat after the game on Monday. Donovan McNabb right now is on pace to throw for as many yards as Tom Brady did in week one by week 15.
Nice. And excuse me while I sip my water. But a lot of that game was on. I mean, the Red Zone Channel had that game on. Obviously, there were only, I think, four o'clock games on Sunday, so they focused on that a lot. And I had a lot of, you know, and I watched the replay of it, a little 10-minute thing this morning on NFL Network where we'll go back and recap the games and everything else. But, you know, if I'm San Diego, they won the game. It's home opener. Special teams problem again right off the bat. Open the game, Percy Harvin. But do you think that, do you think, and this works, and I'm, this works for Patriots fans too. Don't get crazy into thinking because they looked kind of mediocre against a mediocre or middle of the pack Minnesota team that all of a sudden the Patriots should be able to. Don't think that, okay, well, they scored 24 points on Minnesota and Minnesota scored 17 on them. So don't think that's going to, like, all of a sudden. I mean, every game is going to, it's going to be different. I'll bet my life on it. The Chargers are completely different in this game than they did last week against Minnesota. I think the quality of opponent, and the Patriots won that game last year. I mean, they basically flip-flopped. I think the Chargers have beaten the Patriots three out of the last five times they played. But the Patriots whipped them pretty good in 07. You know, that Spygate crap, you know, came in here. That was a 38-14 whipping. And last year they won out there 23-20 in the game. They had to control the whole way until the last couple of minutes, and then San Diego had a chance to tie it up the upright when Chris Brown, rest is history. Patriots win, you know, tough road game. I'm just saying, everybody, you just got to look at, I say it all the time, and I keep saying it all year long. I don't care how many people get tired of it. You got to look at the big picture. You just got to look at everything. You can't just look at one or two plays, and all of a sudden the game isn't sexy enough win for some people. I mean, I just don't understand it. And I promise you, it's going to be fantastic coming up, because I believe this game is going to be possibly the first one to 40 points or 42 points or 45 points wins the game. There's going to be a ton of points scored on Sunday. It's going to be entertaining as hell. And in the end, it's not going to have a whole lot of reflection. I mean, there'll be some reflection on the defenses, but not a whole hell of a lot. San Diego statistically last year, which I can't stand, NFL net yards, they were number one last year or number two, whatever it was, on defense. And that's not going to mean diddly squat going into this game. Nothing. Going to mean nothing. There's going to be a ton of points scored in this game. All right, the Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. And we have someone on the line? Okay, we're going to go to the call. Who's up? Do we know his name? Usually, Kevin puts the name up for me.
if you put down the email, I think the call screener should be there.
Just put him on. I can't even find it. I can see the email.
All right,
but
we're going to have Max in California.
All right, Max. Hey, Max, you're up next here on the Pete Shepard Show. What's up, Max?
What's going on, Pete? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm outstanding, man. I'm outstanding. But listen, every word you're saying, you're absolutely right, man. I'm telling you now, these Fairweather fans, I'm calling them out. You don't have to call them out. Everybody's worried about the Jets game last year. Please, I'm telling you now, Sanchez better be the only one worried back there. Say whatever you want about the defense. Watch out for 92. That's all I got to say. Run your mouth all you want, Jets fans. Run your mouth as much as you want. I'm letting you know now. Just get your tissues ready. You better start crying, because as soon as you get our boys lined up against your little, you know, you're lined up against Braille and whoever's out there, go ahead.
Well, you know, and those people who would retort by saying, well, let's see what happens in the playoffs. That's another thing that people get over carried away with. Joe Montana lost three straight playoff games and I think went on to win three more Super Bowls after that happened. You know, and you know, one of the playoff losses for the Patriots, unfortunately, was a Super Bowl on a couple of miracle plays. But you can't put any stock into anything that happened last year. It's a completely different season. Different season. All right. And we know the Patriot Jet game is probably going to be competitive. Last year, one of them was not. Obviously, the Patriots destroyed them here in that debacle by, whatever, six touchdowns. But overall, it's probably going to be a pretty highly competitive game. But I know it's week one. Like I said, I loved Dallas last week. They should have won the game outright. Only Romo could piss that game away as he did. That was an abomination, because they should have lost that. The Jets should have lost that game by three touchdowns. And instead, because of one guy, it was Romo's fault. It was his fault that they lost that game. Nobody else's. Hibbs' fault. He fumbles on first and goal or second and goal, and then he gives up that stupid interception to Revis. I don't even count. That should even count for Revis as an interception. That should be like a happy birthday cake on it or something. I don't know. That was just was pathetic that he gave, that he threw that pass that horribly in that situation at that time of the game. But I'm with you. I mean, I thought, you know, Albert stayed on the field pretty good, looked pretty good on Monday in the hot heat and humidity. And it was the Dolphin lineman that looked gassed.
Yeah, true.
But, all right, my friend.
Ran him into the dirt, Pete. I'm happy to see that.
All righty.
So, hey, I say, hey, straight up and down, I just simple right here. Mm-hmm. Give him hell, Pat.
All right. Sounds good. Give him
all
hell.
All right, thanks, Pete. Gotta go.
No problem. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling, Matt. Again, email me, webradiopatriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. I just don't know how anybody can go on the air after that game on Monday and write about Sunday about and criticize a whole hell of a lot. I mean, there's always stuff you can nitpick about, you know, but you know what? You want to talk about the defense? I bet you nobody brought up 2-for-14 on third down conversions and hopped on that, you know, for an hour. You know? How come nobody talked about that much? 2-for-14 on third downs. That's pretty good. Pretty good defensive statistic, I think. Where the hell was that? You know? Where are those columns? Instead of writing about Brady being old and the clock ticking, like you're some, you know.
So ridiculous.
Like I said, some 45-year-old woman wanting to have a baby. Why don't you write about 2-for-14 on third downs? You know? But we'll forget about that. That's not important. You know, we have to worry about Devin McCourty getting burned on one or two plays. All right, the Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. And you're up next here on the Pete Shepard Show. Hi.
Hey, Pete, what's up?
What's up, man? Who's this?
Zach from New York.
Hey, Zach, what's up?
You know, watching the game last night, I just don't think some of these fans comprehend that it doesn't matter if the Patriots allowed 24 points. They won the football game. They had some nice plays on the defensive side of the ball. I love the depth at the defensive line. I think you'll see more of Haynesworth this week. And, you know, looking at it, championship defenses are going to have to come up big in the clutch. And although it was bad play calling by the Dolphins, I saw a defense when it looked like they were down and out, come back, and on two plays inside the 10-yard line on two different times, make big stops and get number 12 back the ball. You know, Brady's going to put up 30 points this year for most games. This defense could just hold ground. I like what I'm going to see from the Patriots this year. But my question is on Chad Ochocinco.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see a lot from him. That's largely because the two tight ends are playing great. How much can we expect from Ochocinco this week? I thought Bruschi was dead on EEI.
Well, I think I agree with a lot of what Teddy said on EEI, but I do think, yeah, and I was just talking about that. I talked about this in the crossover with John Rook, and Scott Zolak was just in here last half hour ago. We talked about it a little bit as well. I think you got to cut him a tiny bit of slack for the first couple of two or three weeks, and particularly in that game with the way they played that hurry-up offense, I just don't think he was ready for that kind of style right there at that particular time.
Yeah!
Now, if that was a 0-0 game or something and it was, like, tight, I think you would have seen a lot more of them. But the way that game played out and the way the Patriots were just moving the ball and the hurry-up offense and they were just gassed, the Miami Dolphin line defense was gassed, I don't think it was the right time for Chad Ochocinco. Thinking inside Bill Belichick's mind, it was the right time for him to be in there. I mean, there was a lot of verbalization at the line, a lot of audibles Brady was doing. They were hurrying up. I mean, every play was like every 10, 15 seconds, and it just wasn't the right time. Now, look, is he going to be Randy Moss in 2007? No, I don't think so. He's also not going to be Joey Galloway. You know, I think this guy is going to have an impact. Some weeks he'll have more of an impact than others. This past week is just not one of those times. But you watch, if he has three or four catches this week for 70 yards and two touchdowns, no one's ever going to remember what happened in week one.
I agree with you 110%, and I also think it's a chemistry issue as well. You know, you have a lot of new faces in. People expect Haynesworth and Ochocinco to be putting up big numbers. It's going to take some time. It looks like Haynesworth is a little further in development, but Ochocinco still has a lot to learn. But I think he'll be fine come the end of the year, and hopefully he's ready to go come January, because that's when the Patriots need these guys. The Pats are going to the playoffs. It's going to be which guys are going to be able to step up in January. Thanks, Pete.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the call. Again, 508-298-0398 is the number on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com. You can Facebook me. I'll get to those in a second. Web radio, it says, hi, Pete. It's Tiffany in Wisconsin. I remember Tiffany from last year. I've been annoying Fred about giving us more time with you. I am happy he listened. Oh, I was very impressed with the efficiency of the offense. The O-line was great. The poise of the Patriots after the pick was scary. Their response wasn't panic. It was poise and calculation, which led to a great response to the Finns. Good defensively play and subsequent touchdown. It was like the Pats were in week 10 mode. I agree with you and John. There is just too much doom and gloom on the defense and Ochocinco. I thought McCourty picked it up in the second half and started making plays. I thought Rozzie Dowling looked good. Chung made plays. Chung made it great. I think the linebackers could have played better, but they were also adjusting to the new defensive system. I love Teddy, but I thought he was out of line. He didn't sound like an analyst, which is what his actual job is. That's ESPN for you. They want their analyst to be part of the story. No, you know what? I got it. Tiffany, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You have some good insight.
I love Teddy Bruschi.
The only thing I'll differ is I'm not sure if Teddy Bruschi says what he says initially on ESPN. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's because it was on the big show, and I could be wrong. I mean, he could have gone on ESPN and said that right away, but his first comments after the game were on, you know, about Chad, was after that tweet that set him off, you know? And I do get where Teddy's coming from, and I do think, I agree with him in a lot of ways about Chad needs to stop with the off factor and look at the playbook, if that is indeed the case. Now, I don't know. If you heard Bill Belichick early today, and we'll play some of it later on, he was asked by Mike Reese of ESPN about if Chad got the, is Chad getting the offense? Is he getting it? And Bill basically said, yeah, he does. I just think, once again, you got to look at the way that game played out and the hurry-up offense, and maybe he's just not ready to play that kind of style yet and that game, opening game. I'm not going to sit here and say Chad Ochocinco is going to stink or be Joey Galloway and never be able to make an impact on this team, because I believe he will. And maybe it's this week. Hopefully it will be. 508-298-0398. That's the number here on the Ace Ticket Hotline. But some of these reports, this doom and gloom stuff, some of it, I mean, and I've been saying this for years, it is such a ridiculous overreaction. Everybody's trying to one-up everybody in the media, trying to be just be normal about it, will you? For God's sakes, it's a passing league now. There's a lot of points scored. The days of the 85 Bears defense are over, or the early 90s Cowboys defense. Those days are done. That ain't going to happen. You put teams like Green Bay, the Patriots, New Orleans, and San Diego, they're going to put up 35 points every single game against somebody for the most part, or close to it. It's just the way it is. Those four teams are unbelievable. They're just great offenses. You know, and it's not a reflection. And again, if they're playing each other, they're going to score points. It's not a reflection on how bad some of the defenders are. Sometimes that's the case. But from a team perspective, I mean, it's just, they're great offensive players. Big time impact players on all four of those teams. And the Patriots have the most of them. And San Diego's right there. I put Green Bay probably second, but San Diego and Green Bay are tied second, and New Orleans is right there too. So anytime those four teams are playing each other, you can expect a lot of points to be scored. And I'm not going to sit there the next day and start hopping on how badly defenses are when you've got all-pro quarterbacks and tight ends and wide receivers going up against each other the whole time, in some cases running backs. That's just the way the league is, you know? And you got to watch some of these other games, folks. Watch some of these other teams play. Watch Denver and Oakland. I mean, did that make you want to puke? I mean, that was like a penalty every other play. So just, you know, be grateful what you have here. Believe me, things could be a hell of a lot worse. 508-298-0398. That's the number in the Ace Ticket Hotline. Email us at webradio@patriots.com. You can Facebook me. I'll get to those in a second. Coming up next hour, too, San Diego Chargers beat writer Scott Blair from the North County Times. We'll get into it with him, and we'll get into their new kicker, which I've been holding back a little bit, and some of the other Chargers. And they have, the Chargers have a lot of offensive weapons. They really do. And North Turner has been a pretty good regular season head coach for them. Unfortunately, the Chargers are 3-4 in the playoffs under Rivers. Two of those losses have been to the Patriots, so. I have no doubt that they will have probably, they had a bad regular season last year or a bad first half, which cost them the playoffs. But they, on paper at least, and that's why they play the game, but on paper, Chargers, have a lot of big-time offensive weapons. All right, back with more of your phone calls and with the broadcasting live, the Pete Shepard Show from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Back with more on the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com right after this.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots.
Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Brad!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revise.
Cool.
You have to fly to China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
Oh, I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Here on the Pete Shepherd Show, hour number two here until 6 p.m. Coming up in just a few minutes from the North County Times, the San Diego Charger beat writer Scott Blair will join me. Till then, I bang out some of these emails at webradio@patriots.com. You can call me on the 80s ticket hotline, 508-298-0398. And again, Facebook be Pete Shepherd. I'll get to everything. Let's see. Lucas says, "Hey, Pete, I agree with everything you've said those first 45 minutes. Pats were 14-2 last year with way fewer weapons, bunch of unexperienced players, and midseason recruits. It was quite amazing. Now, with this year's weapons and the improvement of a lot of last year's players, this team is going minimum 14-2. I agree. A lot of points scored versus the Chargers this Sunday." Yeah, I mean, it's, again, can't disagree with anything there. Let's see. Chad says, "Hi, Peter. I listened to some of John's show and the analysis that went into it, and especially around the defense. I think that out of the game, if there's a guy you can give credit to regarding defense, it's Patrick Chung. I've read some notes and analysis, but none of the content included Chung's performance. I don't want to overrate him, but man, I was pleased by the intensity this guy delivers on the gridiron. Wow, a sack, a big hit on the Miami tight end, another big hit that led to an interception. I feel the Chung dude will have a damn good season. Cheers." Yeah, I'm with you, and I mentioned Patrick Chung before on my shows last week. I think he's an up-and-coming star in this league. He's very close to being there. And the other guy, I'll tell you what, Rob Ninkovich continues to. He does so many little things out there that I hope people are paying attention to, because he's becoming, again, he's not at Vrabel's level yet, but, man, Ninkovich is making a run. He really does some good things out there. And he started, you know, in that Miami game last year, and it's just, he's excelled. There isn't a game that goes by where you don't talk about Ninkovich in this on defense. All right, joining me right now on the Ace Ticket Hotline, Scott Blair from the North County Times joins me on the Pete Shepard Show. Hi, Scott. How are you?
How's it going? Pretty good.
All right. Well, it's 84 degrees and hot and humid here today, so it's a lot like San Diego might be this time of year. Kind of an interesting September day here in Foxborough. Let's get right into this game. First of all, you got a kicker, right? Nick Novak signed with the Chargers yesterday.
Yeah, he did. He's been trying to be an NFL kicker for some time, and he hasn't had a lot of success for it. The Chargers really like him. They like the fact that he can boom those kickoffs deep. He's a little inconsistent in terms of accuracy, but they like what they saw out of him when he was a participant with them in the 2010 training camp. I think it's kind of a wait-and-see approach. As I'm sure you guys remember, last year the Chargers mm-hmm. got burned by a new kicker when Chris Brown, who yes. subbed in for Nate Kading, who had a groin injury, missed a 50-yarder to tie it with about 30 seconds left, and that obviously cost San Diego quite a bit. So replacement kickers, and for as much as they bitch and moan about Nate Kading not performing well in the playoffs, they're a little spoiled by the fact that he hits so many of these on such a regular basis. So Novak is going to be a wait-and-see thing, and that's a tough thing to do against a team like New England.
Well, you know, I was watching the Red Zone Channel after the Patriots played Monday, so it was great being able to just sit home and watch the Red Zone Channel all day. And, of course, the first thing you see, and I thought Steve Crosby was back as special teams coach, and you watch, you know, you watch Percy Harvin's run back 150 yards for a touchdown, and all I could picture was everybody in the San Diego press box must have just thrown their pencils up in the air and said, holy crap, not again.
It was very surprising only because the Chargers have been wasting a lot of oxygen saying how much better they are on special teams and trying to put all this spin on that last year is over and that everything is different and everything has changed. You have a new special teams coach, a new personnel, yada, yada, yada. And apparently it was all lip service because on the first play, the guy just dusts them. They always talk about having experienced guys on the edge, especially on those kickoff coverage. And they had a rookie miss a tackle. Kading got twisted around trying to reverse field and, save a touchdown. And he ended up tearing a couple ligaments in his knee. So it wasn't so much that, wow, I'm really surprised at this. It was like, man, they put a lot of effort into acting like everything was okay. And really, let's be honest, it's not, because it's all good until you make a mistake. It doesn't matter if you throw, you know, eight innings to shut out baseball and you give up a grand slam in the ninth and you lose 4-3, those first eight innings don't even matter. So it matters about every single time how you go out and you perform, and it's clear that these special teams are not as fixed as the Chargers would like us to believe.
Well, stop talking about the Red Sox recent slide here, okay? I mean, you don't need to do that. They lost again today, by the way, 5-4, blew another lead. Let's talk about, every year, and, you know, again, net yardage numbers, which I say a lot on this show, to me, don't mean a whole hell of a lot. However, you have to take in consideration some of them. And, you know, statistically last year, if you didn't see any games or see the scores and just saw yardage numbers, the Chargers, what, number one in offense and defense, all that stuff. But because of special teams, because of the some of the miscues they made in so many games last year, they struggled the first half of the season. And they fought hard at the end, but it just wasn't enough. But every year, to me, is different. Every year is its own entity, its own separate island, whatever you want to say. And that's why I can honestly say I just think there's going to be so many points scored in this game coming up. The Chargers have a ton of offensive weapons. You know about the Patriots. The one thing that does concern me a little bit, which concerned me last week, is that, I mean, Donovan McNabb, who's just, to me, just mediocre to bad at best, and he played that way with only 39 yards passing. But, it was because of the mediocre opponent that San Diego played, because they're going to have to play a hell of a lot better this week here. And I think they will, but I'm sure you realize that if they play that way against, like they did against Minnesota, they're going to get killed.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance that they can beat New England with a repeat performance. I don't think that. Bro, at the same time, I'm not sure that they're going to be able to keep up with New England's offense. The one thing that you have to remember is that if you look back on last year and there was a lot of problems with the front seven and with the run defense, it's hard for me to find fault with the secondary. Secondary was the number one pass defense in all of football last year, mm-hmm. and yes, that's just yardage. But they look real good, and I tell you what, I know he's only good if he's healthy, but Bob Sanders makes a huge difference in this defense because he is the yin to Eric Weddle's yang in terms of Eric Weddle's good at playing center field and reading the right routes and shading towards the guy that needs double coverage. Bob Sanders is basically a fifth linebacker, and he puts a lot of effort into stopping the run, into hitting tight ends, into doing a lot of different things, and he can cheat so much up front now. He can be the eighth man in the box almost all the time because Weddle's so good at playing deep that he can kind of let Bob roam free, and he changes the physical nature of this defense quite a bit. In terms of San Diego being a finesse defense and doing a lot of cutesy things, I kind of buy that sometimes. But when you add Bob Sanders and you add Taquio Spikes, there's a new level of physicality here that does seem to change the way that they deal with tight ends. And when you deal with New England, that's obviously huge with guys like Aaron Hernandez that has to be accounted for every single play. So I think that this will be a different defense than Patriots fans are used to seeing from the Chargers. They're going to be a little bit more aggressive. And Manusky loves to dial up that pressure, and he's using Bob Sanders quite a bit to do that. So it should be interesting in terms of that battle across the middle when you're dealing with backs coming, backs being receivers, tight ends coming across the middle, slot receivers like Welker. They've got plans for these guys, and the major plan is just to hit them as hard as humanly possible.
Well, certainly the Patriots are very familiar with Bob Sanders, being with Indianapolis all those years. And, he had some good games against the Patriots and some not so good games against them. A lot of people think he's one of those guys that can pad his stats by jumping into piles, that kind of thing. A lot of the stuff that Junior Seau kind of went through with some of his years at San Diego. But I agree with you. I think, Antoine Case and Quentin Jammer, Sean Phillips and Weddle and Sanders out there. I mean, those guys are all very good players, and certainly, the Patriots have to be at their best. And even last year, I throw last year's game completely out the window because I couldn't believe it wasn't so much, special teams in that game. It was just some stupid plays that the Chargers committed, which I just don't think happens. They had a bad lateral pass, left the ball on the field and was picked up. Those kind of stupid things. I just don't anticipate that happening. I just think the offensive weapons that both of these teams have, it's just going to be one of those rare occasions, just like Green Bay and New Orleans the other night. I don't care how good the defenses look on paper. It doesn't matter. Both these teams have too many top-notch weapons. I just see a lot of points. And then the Patriots get the better of them in the end. But this is, there's going to be a lot of points in this game. I just don't see the Patriots stopping San Diego, without them getting about 30 points. That's the way I see it. And it's not going to be a giant reflection of how the Patriots defense is going to play the rest of the year, nor do I think it'll be a giant reflection on how San Diego's defense plays the rest of the year. I think you're just talking about two exceptionally gifted offensive teams going into the game.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you. And last week, Phillip Rivers was off just a tick, and that's a huge deal because he's normally so consistent and so accurate. He missed a couple of pretty easy touchdown passes. He didn't use Vincent Jackson very much. He seemed content to dump off to the backs. And let me tell you, for as much flack as Ryan Matthews gets around here for his lack of ball security, man, that guy has so much balance. He's almost like a metronome, the way that he can bounce back and forth and stay up. And Mike Tolbert is the same way. They really haven't established that vertical threat. Last week they weren't able to do that, but you know that that's coming. I definitely agree that this could be one of those 38-35 sort of games, and it's going to come down to who makes fewer mistakes on defense, although there's going to be points scored, and I think it's also a matter of who doesn't get frustrated. When all these touchdowns are being scored, I think the Chargers are in better I think the Dolphins last week, and you would probably know better than I would, I thought that they looked exposed in terms of their conditioning in some ways. I understand that the no huddle is difficult. I think that San Diego will be more ready for that because they're a little bit deeper. Obviously, when you lose two corners like Miami did, everything changes, but I do think that San Diego is a bit deeper, and that will help them throughout the course of the game and keep this a little bit tighter. I mean, I don't think Tom's going to throw for 517 again. Man, every time I watch that guy, I'm just wowed. I'm just as a football observer. Mm-hmm. And he's fared decently well against San Diego. San Diego does well against these top flight quarterbacks because they take it as a real challenge, and they have a couple physical corners out there. I am also with you that I think that New England is going to come out on top of this one. The Chargers don't do very well in Foxborough, but it should be a pretty entertaining game to watch from a national casual football fan perspective, if I can get that out right.
Yeah, And the other thing is, I mean, you talked about Aaron Hernandez, and you also have to, obviously, you have to add Ron Gronkowski into that mix. I mean, he, you know, last year he had a damn good year last year, and this year you saw it's tough enough to contain Aaron Hernandez, who's more almost like a receiver, H-back, than a tight end. But when both of those guys are out there with Deion Branch and with Wes Welker, and if Chad Ochocinco can get his head screwed on straight here and get more than three attempts thrown at him like he did on Monday night. And the way the run, and a very, very underrated running game with the tandem of Woodhead and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. So, you know, they're not gonna wow you in any way, but all of a sudden, 4 yards a carry, 5 yards a carry, 6 yards a carry. Then Woodhead's catching out of the backfield, lining up as a, I mean, they have a very, very, no one talks about a lot about this running game the Patriots have, but it is the two guys that they do have are a great complement to an already spectacular offense. I think it's good. And I just think, again, I think the Gronkowski Hernandez combination are going to pose gigantic matchup problems for San Diego.
Yeah, they've never covered tight ends well. Again, that was in the pre-Bob Sanders era. And sometimes I worry that I get too close to a team because I only see them every day, and sometimes I might either get a little bit too high or too low on certain guys. I do think that Sanders and Spikes changed the way they play against tight ends because they've always been vulnerable to them, I definitely think that that's going to be a very key matchup for over the course of this game, that if they can they're not going to be able to stop these guys from making catches. That's just unrealistic. But I definitely think that if they can slow it down and keep it to a 4 or 5 yard gain as opposed to a 12 yard gain, and especially those 12 yard gains on third down, I think this game may be able to switch, because you're right. Like, you were listing off all those names, the Patriots, and I think the Chargers are pretty much the only offense that has something similar. You look at the running backs.
Yep.
You mentioned Woodhead. You mentioned
yep.
Green Ellis. You got
yep.
Tolbert Matthews, and at tight ends you have Gates, and you have McMichael, and you have on the out. You know, in terms of receivers, you have Vincent Jackson, and Patrick Caton is probably going to be back, and Malcolm Floyd. So you've got deep threats. You've got slot receivers. That's why I think this is going to be such an intriguing matchup. It's almost a bummer that it's coming in the second week. You want to see these teams kind of, you know, hit their stride in week 6 or week 7 to really see these teams at their best. But no matter if it's week 2 or week 16, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be explosive. And I'm not a bet man, but if I were, I'd definitely take that over.
I think it's at 54 right now, which is pretty high for an NFL game in the middle of the second week of the season. But I agree. Right. Like I said, I think this is going to be the first team to 40 or 40-plus wins this game. I really believe that. And, again, people who don't watch a lot of football or don't understand on both New England and in San Diego, I guarantee you, no matter what happens in this game, it ends up being 40-35 or whatever it ends up being, 42-40, I don't care. Both defenses will get ripped next week, probably unnecessarily. They'll take a lot of heat. And there are just so many great offensive studs playing in this game on both sides. You know, and I have a ton of respect for Gates, obviously, and Floyd and Jackson. I know the Patriots do, and I agree with you about your running game. I was pretty impressed. I loved it did look very similar. I mean, Matthews and Tolbert, the way the Patriots used Ben Jarvis and Danny Woodhead. So I just think there's some similarities here. I just, in the end, the Patriots might just have a little bit too much more on offense. And like I said, 45-42 would not surprise me. Not one bit in this game.
Yeah. You know, should be a fun one, that's for sure. I do think that Chargers don't generally travel well to the East Coast. Doesn't matter what time the game's played. I know this one's at 4 p.m. Out
Eastern
there,
time, yeah.
And that should help them a little bit in terms of not having to have breakfast when they're normally getting up and all those kinds of things. But they don't travel well. They don't generally play well in New England, or at least a little worse than the Patriots do. I mean, I've seen New England do some explosive things. Like, look at what they did to the Jets last year.
Yeah.
Up there, and I don't.
Yep, we lost.
Might have lost.
We lost Scott. Sounded like we lost him. We lost him. Well, that's all right. We was coming to the end of the conversation here. Well, thanks to Scott Blair from the North County Times for joining me here on the Pete Shepherd Show. And I really feel this way. I think the first team to 40 wins. And it's just one of those games. It's going to be one of those games. You know, I've seen it in the past with old Miami Jets in the 80s. Certainly it's happened with the Patriots at times over the years and a couple of games. It's just one of those scenarios where next week, and I'm sure some of these columnists already have their rip on the defense columns already written and ready to go, because you know, it'll look, it might look bad on paper, but it's going to be a hell of an entertaining game. And I just think the Patriots will come out on top. I'll give you my score and prediction and all that stuff tomorrow. But I think definitely both teams score in the 30s, minimum in the 30s, apiece in this game. It's just the way it's going to be. There are too many offensive studs playing in this game. And unless one team really craps out and does stupid things, like San Diego did last year. I mean, the Patriots, I think, last year at the end of the first half, were up 17-3, and I think they had 40-something, did I write it down? 40-something yards at the half last year. That's all they had. And, in fact, you know, I'm looking at the recap. Let me punch it up here real quick and look at the recap of last year's game. And they're up at the half. They're up 13-3 at the half. And I think they had 53 yards total, because Chargers just played stupid and had two horrible turnovers, and they ended up with a 17-3 lead going into the 20-3 lead going into the fourth quarter, and then the Chargers made that comeback, and then Brown hit the upright at the end of the game, and the Patriots hung on to win 23-20. I do not expect that kind of a game at all coming up. I mean, again, no crystal ball. I'm just telling you from experience and everything. And again, you never know. But I don't think the Chargers are going to come here and play stupid like that. They played stupid last year when the Patriots played them out there. It was dumb. It wasn't even bad. It wasn't great plays that the Patriots made. They'd make a couple, but Chargers played stupid last year out there. And that's why they were down early. Gina Daytona says, hi, Pete. Did you see the article in the Miami Herald? Brady racks up 517 yards against second stringers. I don't know about you, but that really pissed me off. I know the Miami players had problems with cramping up and subs had to go in, but they said was not exactly true. Why doesn't anybody give Brady any respect? Oh, no, that's not true either. I mean, Brady gets a ton of respect. If you saw him nationally, all the people nationally this week, they're all latching on to him because Manning isn't in the league this year. So they're all latching on. And if the Miami Herald people want to write about that, they're crazy. They were out-conditioned so badly. And, again, and Kevin just brought it up, too. I mean, Scott Blair just brought it up, too, from North County Times. And I brought it up today, and I'm sure a lot of people have. It's just obvious. The Patriots, I mean, Miami was in nowhere near the shape the Patriots were in, which is shocking for that time of year down there at that stadium with all that humidity and heat. They were gassed. The Patriots weren't. And I agree with Scott Blair, and says, you know, San Diego will come in here. They'll be in pretty good shape. Tiff says, another thing, though, the host was total doom and gloom, just like all of the callers last night. I had to call and call and call the callers out. It was like everyone expected to see 85 Bears. You would have thought we lost the game. I can't listen to that show again. Well, that's Adam's show? Well, I don't know. I didn't hear it, so sometimes callers can overreact, believe it or not. So I don't know. I'm sure Adam does a great job, but I hope he doesn't fall into the trap. He's kind of a young guy. I hope he doesn't fall into the Borges trap of, please let me try to be different for the sake of being different, because it comes off phony. And again, I'm not saying that's what he did or anything like that, because I didn't hear any of the show. And I'm sure it was fine. I'm sure it wasn't as bad as some people are saying. And look, there are times when they should be criticized heavily. Like the game after Cleveland last year, that kind of stuff. I totally get it. You know what? When they suck, they suck. I just worry about people trying too hard, and a lot of it's personal because Belichick doesn't give them the answers they want. I'm not talking about everybody. I'm saying there's a few. You know, because BB does not give them the answers they want, you know, about injuries and stuff, they take it personally. A lot of them do. And that's just true. You just have to read some stuff from some writers over the years. There's no doubt about it. Facebook message. Chris says, what do you think of the no true? I can't even read what he says. What do you think of the no true fullback, i.e. Dane and Aaron, playing the role for the night, is number 85 behind the rest? Well, right now, 85 is behind the rest. You know, he's behind the rest. And Aaron Hernandez and Gronkowski, I mean, absolutely. Dane, what does he mean by Dane? Ladanian. What do you think of no true fullback?
Fletcher came in and played.
Fletcher. Yeah, okay.
I think that's just because of the circumstance. That's usually Connolly's spot, but
exactly.
He was in playing center.
And again, Dan Connolly has played center before. I don't think they're going to miss much. Kopi is a great guy. I love Kopi. One of my favorite players ever on the team. He is just a riot. I love him. And, yes, he'll be missed. But it's nice to have Conley come in, who's a little versatile. And I heard him today, being interviewed on Comcast. I'm not sure they do from 12 to 1, which is great, by the way, on Wednesdays. Love listening to that, too, as well as Patriots.com. But I don't think they're going to miss much with Dan Conley at center. Much like people worried when Russ Hochstein took over for Kopi a few years ago, did a great job at center. So it's just great that they have versatile offensive linemen like that that can fit right in. And that's another reason why, you know, you look at, and that's, you know, another thing this week. I'm going to go into a little, another rant. You know, last week I heard so much ridiculous breaking down draft choice talk. Some of it beyond stupid. You know, people saying, you know, outside the first round, the picks don't matter much. You got to be kidding me. And they always forget to throw in the situation about accumulating draft picks, that the Patriots got Wes Welker and Randy Moss because of those accumulated draft picks. They always forget that when they're analyzing the drafts. People always forget those two things.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. A lot of those people forget that. But I heard some draft talk last week on the radio that I just was like, I have to shut it off because they start screaming. And I'm like, where do you come up with this information? They just make this
up. Bush League.
They go by, you know, a couple of guys cut here, a few guys cut there, maybe one year in a bad draft. But then they just, again, forget the big picture. And they forget the guys they got by accumulating some of these picks and what they've done. They forget last year's draft. The entire freaking team is starting now, practically. You know? I don't know. It's got to be me. It's just got to be me. And then I get accused of being, you're just a Patriot homer. This is not. I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah. I mean, go back and listen to my shows last year after they lost to Cleveland and after they lost to the Jets in that game two last year. You know, when they deserve to be criticized, you criticize. But it's hard to criticize a team that wins like 88% of the time, you know, because they don't win. And because some of you, I mean media people, think that if they don't win 34-10 every week, that is some kind of failure. You know, I'm not that way. And I know writers have to come up with some different things now and then. Everybody can't write the same thing, or that's what they think. But last week to hear people talk about Brady's age, article after article after article, and not just so locally, but some nationally too. I don't get it. I really don't. I don't know where it comes from. The guy was a unanimous MVP last year, and the clock is ticking. Well, you know what? Talk to me in 3 years. Maybe the clock will start ticking then. Don't talk to me this year about the clock ticking. Not with that coach and not with this offense. Clock ain't going to be ticking. Clock's going backwards. Clock's going backwards. He's in phenomenal shape. 517 yards speaks for itself on Monday night. Doesn't miss a beat. Interception was a bad play. I mean, that was kind of a goofy type of play. It's one of those goofy type of plays I said usually happens in Miami. You know, we've seen plays like that cost the Patriots a game before. Something like that. But I'm not going to sit here and overly criticize anything from week one because I think overall I was very impressed with what I saw. The game went almost exactly to plan what I thought. I said it'd be 34-24. It was 38-24. You know, game back and forth a little bit. Patriots pull away opening night in Miami. Now, trust me, when those bozos come up here on New Year's Day, they're going to get their butts whipped. It'll be zero outside, maybe snowing. It'll be a different scenario, just like last year when they came up here and lost 38-7. It'll be very, very sad. I'll be shocked if it's not. Not that Miami can't somehow come out. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Miami comes out to be this incredible team. Maybe they don't lose the rest of the way. But, you know, they're going to come up here on New Year's Day, the last game of the season. And depending on how much it means for the Patriots, I mean, it might mean winning that game might mean, you know, winning home field advantage over a team like Baltimore, maybe even Pittsburgh, despite the way they played Sunday, or San Diego. Who knows? So this game against San Diego is huge this week because of the AFC home field ramifications. Like very well could be. They very well could be number one, number two. A lot of people, I'm sure, picked them that way. I think a lot of people picked them that way last year. But I was not overly impressed with what I saw against Minnesota. Again, maybe because of the level of the opponent. But down 17-7 in that game. And yet, and Phillip Rivers is as tough as they come. So I don't expect him to ever lay down, ever. I saw him play here in Foxborough with a busted half a leg and an arm and just not well. It's Dan Pastorini-esque from the late 1970s. And Yeah, you know, that's one of those games, believe it or not, where Lawrence Maroney ended up being one of the stars because he basically ran out the clock. He and the offensive line almost single-handedly in that AFC Championship game in 2007. If you go back, hate to say it, but that's true.
Not often you hear that one.
No, that's true. Maroney had two great games against Jacksonville and San Diego that year in the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, the San Diego game, they had the ball with 9 minutes to go, and I think it was reasonably close, 6 or 7 point Patriot lead, and they just ran the whole clock out. Last 9 minutes and 13 seconds, and it was mostly Lawrence Maroney. He had a couple of good playoff games. So you have to give him credit for that. I mean, he basically was a bust and sucked for the most part. But in 2007, he had some decent games for the Patriots. In the playoffs, he was pretty good. Mike says, hi, Pete. I think Coach Belichick should tell the Pats before the game the same thing Patton told his troops. Boys, we're going to hold on to them by the nose and kick them in the butt. You can say kick them in the ass. You can say ass on the radio. You can say ass anywhere. Keep telling it like it is, Pete. We missed you guys. And we're sure as hell glad to have you back. Give him hell, Pats. Mike, Sergeant, U.S. Marine Corps. Thank you, Sergeant. And more importantly, thank you for your service to the country. No question about it. Like his title was motivation. Facebook me at Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And also, you can email me, webradio@patriots.com. And, again, do you guys think the Ocho Cinco stuff is being overblown? Why do you think about Teddy Bruschi's comment? In fact, we have Teddy's comment. This is what Teddy said, in case you missed it. And I'm sure most of you haven't by now because it's gone national and everything else. But Teddy on the big show on EEI yesterday on, chat. And this is basically a response to Chad Ocho Cinco's tweet, which, you know what? I should probably put, all the tweet said was basically, couldn't believe what he was seeing, of basically what, you know, what an offensive juggernaut the Patriots are. And it was just great to witness it. You know, he was in awe, somewhat.
Basically saying he was happy to be on the team.
Happy to be on the team.
Happy to witness it from the sidelines.
And witness it from the sidelines, yeah. And Teddy Bruschi had this reaction on WEI yesterday.
Teddy with this guy?
This guy here, all right, never seen a machine operate like that in person. To see video game numbers, I mean, wow. Drop the awe factor, okay? Ocho, Chad, drop the awe factor. You're not a fan, all right? You're not someone who's on another team or watching TV. You're not an analyst. You're a part of it. They want you to be a part of it. So get with the program, because obviously you're not getting it, and you're tweeting because you're tweeting and you're saying that it was amazing to see. It's amazing to see because you don't understand it. You still don't understand it, and it's amazing to you because you can't get it. Stop tweeting and get in your playbook. Wake up. If you're just waking up now, I don't know when this was, 6 minutes ago or something like that, get out your bed and get to the stadium and watch some more film if you still think it's amazing. If you're in it and you know what you're doing and you execute out there, you don't think it's amazing. You know why? Because it's what you're supposed to do. All of a sudden, it's second nature. I know I was supposed to do that. Yes, I went 99 yards. I threw for 517. You know why? Because we're that good, and that's what we're supposed to do, and that's what I thought we were going to do. You are still in awe to be a member of the New England Patriots offense. Join the system, buddy.
Imagine what he'd be like if we ever...
All right, that's good. But I love it. I mean, I'm a huge Teddy Bruschi guy. I have no problem with what he said. No problem at all. I get it. I get from where he's coming from. Totally. I understand both sides of it. And I think he's more responding to
Teddy Bruschi.
Yeah.
I love him.
No, could you not? And, you know, I think, again, if 85 doesn't tweet, then that reaction never comes out of Teddy. I'm convinced of that. This was about the tweet, and Chad maybe, I don't know if Chad can overexpress himself, but he's, you know, he did sound like almost like a fan sitting on the sideline going, oh, my God, can you believe this? Video game numbers and all that stuff. And I understand because there's still a lot of captain left in Teddy. I mean, Teddy looks like he's still in great shape. And you know, he's still, I think in his heart, still very much part of this organization until it comes off. I know he has to be fair and impartial at times, but I believe me, I think he wants to see Chad get out there and catch, go for 100 yards and 4 touchdowns in the game. I think that's what he'd like to see. Most of us would. But I'm going to cut him a little bit of slack. And I am going to talk about, you know, I've talked about already about why he is what he is right now. And I think that game with all the hurry-up offenses and everything, the hurry-up offense and the way the Patriots wore down Miami in that game, a lot of audibles, there's a lot of verbiage being thrown out during that time by Tom because of his hurry-up offense. It just wasn't the right time, the right situation for him. I think there will be games this year, people, where he gets thrown to more than three times, and he'll make more than one catch for 14 yards. It'll happen. And hopefully it'll happen this week. Facebook me at Pete Shepard, P-E-T-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. And Matt says, Pete, welcome back. I'm glad you have more than one show a week this year. I'd like to thank all the emails I sent PFW in progress that I tagged with more Pete help. After listening to Chicken Littles all day, it's good to hear someone who can think with some perspective. Is it true or minus the interception that was essentially returned for a touchdown? The defense only gave up 17 points. They had more pressure on the quarterback in the first half of the game than they did the first half of last year. Also, love your thoughts on Cinco. I was shouting them at the radio all day. He's getting the offense, but in that situation, it didn't make sense to play him. He didn't really look like they needed him. When they need him and he doesn't step up, then we can start criticizing him. Until then, I think we should have enough respect for Coach Belichick to believe him when he says Chad is doing good. Thanks for the great shows. Thanks, man.
Meow!
You agree. I think you have a thoughtful discourse on what you said. I agree with you. I just think it's an overreaction. I would love to hear snippets of other talk shows all over the country for the different teams. I really would. Like, how'd you like to be in Cleveland today? How'd you like to be in Cleveland this week after that garbage that they... You lose at home to the Bungles? The Bungles. Hey, Bungles are... As Red Zone was going through the games, I'm like, who are these guys?
Bruce Gradkowski leading the troops.
Just unbelievable. You know? I expected more. And the other team, and I've been kind of a closet Kyle Orton fan since he was at Purdue. I really have. I've talked about him. I thought when he took over for the Bears, I thought it was a good job. He ended up doing a pretty good job there. In the end, not so much. And Grossman came in. He was awful. Grossman took his place, which I thought was a bad move on their part at the time. Awful. And I really thought the trade would do him well when he got traded to Denver. I said, you know what, this is where, and when Josh was there, I said, this guy's going to fit in great. And last year, if you look at the numbers, he had put up pretty good numbers. He really did. And I don't know if it's because you play the Raiders, so you play stupid, or the Raiders just kicked their butt twice last year. And I don't know what. But watch that game on Sunday night after the Patriots. And when you talk about Aletta, you talk about going from a crescendo to a diminuendo. How about that? My piano days. About that. You don't hear that too much on Patriots.com, do you? Those Latin expressions. Good. Yeah. But that was like, let me put it another way. That was like going from filet mignon to hungry man Salisbury steak. Okay? It was pathetic to watch those teams try to play football. I think they were playing football. Flag football, certainly. Referee flag football. But it was disgusting. And Kyle and Josh, and I rained a little bit. But my God, Brady's played in blizzards, with the exception of the tuck rule. You ever see Brady fumble the ball in the snow? I don't ever remember it. You know?
I think Miami fans are still going to be chanting for Kyle Orton after this past week.
Well, you know what? I still think he would have fit in well. I thought he would have fit in well down there. I think it was. I know it fell through at the last second. But you know, Kyle drops back. He drops the ball. Drops the ball. Come on. You know, and they're just, you know, he made some clutch throws. He got him in within 3 points at the end. He had a nice drive there. But I expect a little more out of him. I expect more out of Denver. I thought they'd be a little bit better. I mean, maybe right now the Raiders just have their number. They beat him now three straight times last year. They demolished him. The Raiders go undefeated in the division last year and don't make the playoffs. And I can't figure the Raiders out for the life of me. They are a tough team to figure out. Because there are times they look really good. And then this week, really this week, they're playing Buffalo this week, I think. I think they're in Buffalo this week.
So.
Huh?
It's tough to win when you have a great running game and then a quarterback who just he just throws the game away.
Yeah, Campbell. I mean, just it's just, you know, sometimes he looks okay, but you can't win in this. You can't win in this league. Like, I think Kyle Orton could win in this league. He just has to get more focused. A guy like him has to get more focused. A guy like Campbell, I'm not sure. Then you got Grossman, who's Washington, playing really well. And I thought Washington would win that game outright. I thought the wrong team was favored in that game on Sunday. I mean, the Giants are in trouble. Giants, I think, are in trouble. It's only week one. We've certainly seen the Giants in trouble before. We saw the Giants in trouble in 2007. So I should really heed my own warnings and take my own advice here and not go crazy in the first week of the season, because we saw the Giants in trouble the first 3 weeks of the season in 2007. Need I say what happened in the end? They won the Super Bowl. In case you forgot. And they were not good in those first 3 or 4 weeks. In fact, it was ugly at times. So that's why you really don't learn a lot about what you have until like week 10 or 11. Now, again, staying reasonably healthy, I think we know what we have with this Patriots team is going to be a superior team. No question. I think you know, barring any major injuries, it's the Patriots, the Green Bays, the New Orleans, the San Diegos, I think are going to be the top four teams in football. You know, but, you know, San Diego's had that talent problem. They've had the talent in the past, as good as anybody in the league some years, and they just can't get over that hump. But we'll see. I just expect a big-time scoring game. I'm going to take one more quick break and then come back and finish up. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And you can Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Here until 6 o'clock. Don't forget, tomorrow, it's the Fantasy Lowdown coming up here tomorrow. Right here on Patriots.com with Brian Lowe. And yours truly will do that in the first hour tomorrow. And have another special guest coming up tomorrow. Not sure will that be yet, but I will let you know. And, of course, I'll have my picks, which, I mean, how can you go wrong? I promise you this week would be free if I didn't go 62%. I went 500, so, again, this week is free. You don't have to call and pay anything for my picks this week. I'll give them to you for free. But my super-duper Pete the Meat Miraculous Monster pick did come through. I told you Dallas would win. Don't you want – I know what I want. I want somebody make a Tony Romo pinata. And that's what I want. I want it to hang from my living room ceiling above my high-def TV. And every time I get mad at something, anything, I just want to punch it. God, you talk about wasted talent sometimes. Man, oh, man, is he frustrating. Anyway, back with more after this on Patriots.com.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the pads are driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revise.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the Big and Toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com radio.
Yeah, baby! Oh, I love that! How did that get jacked and pumped for that music? You know, that should be like the thing. I don't understand the words, what they're saying there, and it's probably like, it's like, it sounds like, the, you know, an upbeat version of like what they chant in The Omen, the original, from 1976. But it's probably some Latin phrases that we don't have to dissect, but that music just gets you going. Again, A Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email me, webradiopatriots.com. Facebook me as well. Got a couple messages I want to read from people. And then we're going to play, what I talked about earlier in case you missed it, the St. Louis Rams in its entirety. This promotional message called for Ram fans, right? Ram fans?
It's called Ram Rules.
Ram rules for basically Ram rules for Ram fans. And I'll get to it in a second, but it is this commercial. It's airing on the radio, right? Is it radio or TV?
No, it's getting played on the Jumbotron in the stadium.
In the stadium. But it's probably running on, I bet it's running on television stations out in Missouri.
It's got to be on local TV.
Got to be on local TV out in Missouri. And this is a backward ass they are out there. When you hear this, it is just pathetic. Let me just get to some of these emails real quick, and then we'll get to that before we end the show. Gene says, hey, Pete, Jerry Jones said that Tony Romo's performance was the best he's ever seen. How do you feel about Jerry's comment? I'll have more on that in a second. I agree with you, Pete. Teddy would not have said anything except for the tweet. That is what upset Teddy. All Teddy saw was Chad trying to draw attention to himself, and that's not the Patriots' way. I don't know if Chad has gotten it yet. I don't even know if 85 was trying to draw attention to himself. I think he was just seemed like a total Yahoo fan out there. I understand where Teddy was coming from at all. But the first part, Jerry Jones saying Tony Romo's performance was the best he'd ever seen. How do you feel about Jerry's comment? Well, here's the thing. When you are a man of Jerry's age and have had, I don't know, 52 plastic surgeries on your face, you know, the chemicals start to seep into your brain and you become Jerry Jones. You know, you become something that you might see in one of those zombie movies that everybody seems to be making lately. You know, they should. They could have definitely make a movie with Jerry Jones as one of those zombies. Is that new show on? Isn't the show on MTV? Let's calculate kind of. It's a new show on MTV. It's basically it's a goof on the zombie movies about there's like vampires and the zombies and they're all like taking over. They're all getting shot in the head and blown away. It's all blood and stuff. But it's a comedy. So it's like one of those new shows they're doing on what's that show on Comedy Central used to do about that the cops used to do? It used to be funny. The cops would be
Reno 911.
Was it
Reno 911?
Yes, Reno 911. This show is going to be like that. Just regarding, so Jerry Jones could star in that. But that's what happens. I mean, he's had so much plastic surgery. You got to feel bad for him. So the chemicals have seeped into his brain, and that's why he thinks that Tony Romo's performance was the best he'd ever seen, which is just, you know, that is just so pathetic. And I'm not sure anybody in Dallas takes this guy seriously, or they don't have the balls to just call him out for what he is. You know, I haven't read the Dallas papers today, but if there isn't a columnist out there, or even a guy like Skip Bayless on ESPN, who's from that area, If you can't go off on something like that, I mean, Jerry Jones, I just think he's become
Bush League.
I think he's become a cartoon character himself, really. Jake says, well, what do you think of Raj's brother dance performance? How about Dowling as well? Raji Dowling, I thought, played very, very well for the most part. I think he played very well. And Dan was fine. Dan was fine. And the plays he was out there, I mean, he was fine. You know, did a pretty good job. He's only going to get better first week. I'm glad he was out there right away. So the Winkowski brothers out there, got to love it. Again, the game went just about as according to script what I had told you guys last week. I said 34-24. I said tight ends would kick ass. And, you know, I didn't expect 5-11 on the Brady. I said I thought Henny might look good early on. And the game would be nip and tuck for a while. And then the Patriots just have too much to follow. I just did you ever feel like that game was in danger at all Monday night ever? I didn't. Even when I mean, Dolphins took the early lead, no problem. No big deal. I mean, Reggie Bush after the first quarter, after the first half of the first quarter, did you really hear much of Reggie Bush? And if Reggie Bush is going to be your feature back, he's dead meat. He is not going to make it. He can't run the ball 20 times a game. And you're not going to throw to him 25 times a game. So someone's got to run the ball. I think there's some issues in Miami. I think there's some talent there, but there's some issues. Santiago says, hey, Pete, how do you think that? What do you think the most underrated Patriots player and who is the most overrated? Well, I think it's too early to talk about overrated. And I, you know, and maybe I'm wrong by saying this. Underrated, and I'm going to go with Ninkovich again. I just don't think enough people are talking about this guy. He's done so well the second half of last year. Most of last year and already this year. I mean, I think he's playing great football. I think he's a guy that we're going to be talking about a lot as the season goes on. I mean, he's just great. Now, Brandon Spikes, maybe Brandon Spikes fits overrated. I don't know. Can you be overrated but not play? Is it possible to be overrated? But he was a healthy scratch. That kind of tells you something right there. So, interesting. I told you that kid A.J. Eads that they got from Miami, the Dolphins, he may end up being the steal of the decade when this is all said. And he might be kind of like a Danny Woodhead steal. I mean, I know he's, you know, when he gets his chance, if he gets his chance here, but a lot of good things about him. Mary Beth, I love you, Pete. You tell them. I agree with some of these reporters. Ridiculous. Go Pats one game at a time. That's right. One game at a time. One game at a time. Adrian says, Pete, we need you on a post-game show after Pats games. Why haven't the Pats addressed the safety depth situation, especially with the latest injury to Josh Barrett? Why not sign Darren Sharper? Well, we talked about Darren Sharper last week, and I don't know. Maybe in the future they will. Maybe in the future they will. But Josh Barrett was at practice today. He didn't miss practice. So, I mean, Barrett's been injured in the past, but he wasn't on Monday night. Did I miss something?
He does have a – it's not like a full-blown cast, but does have his hand wrapped up pretty well.
Yeah.
In the locker room today.
Well, he was at practice today. He didn't miss practice. Bodden did. Bodden missed practice today. Wright and Kopi, obviously. And Vollmer was back. So that's good. So we'll see. I don't disagree with what you're saying about the safeties, but right now – you know, I thought, you know, Patrick Chung, and he did, you know, decent job on Monday night. Patrick made some monster hits. All right, before we go, this is that St. Louis rant. Listen to how pathetic. I mean, if you live in Missouri, you're going to be embarrassed. If you're a St. Louis Ram fan, you're going to be embarrassed. But go ahead. Here's the commercial. This, I am not making this up. This is not edited. This is an actual commercial running in the state of Missouri, particularly in the city of St. Louis, about Rams games and their fan. It runs on the Jumbotron, and I believe it's running on local television out in St. Louis. Here it is. Get your barf bag ready.
Fans, we want to have the loudest stadium in the NFL.
To help us all come together as the 12th Ram, we've created Ram Rules.
Follow these 5 rules to give our team dome field advantage.
Together as one, we can do it.
We can do it!
Ram Rule 1.
Third down and goal.
When the Rams offense is at work at the line,
shh. Ram Rule 2.
Shout it out. He's got a first down.
Every first down for the Rams, our announcer says, St. Louis, you scream.
First down.
Ram Rule 3.
Oh, my God.
On third down, let's help our Rams by making some noise! Yeah!
I can't hear you!
Ram Rule 4.
He's a real people.
Every time we get to the quarterback, I want to hear you yell, sack!
Pocket collapsing, he's sacked again.
Sack!
Oh, my God.
Ram Rule 5.
Josh Brown to kick it off.
Leading up to every kickoff, let's slow clap it out.
That sounds disgusting. I'm offended by that comment.
That's all. Jeez. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Saw that in my first porno movie. That it? Is there more? Isn't that pathetic? And that is so beyond laughable.
Well, there's a guy dressed up as Elvis that is a majority of the video, which makes it just more ridiculous.
Elvis is from Memphis. That's in Tennessee, not St. Louis. Gonna go to St. Louis for, but I mean, come on. Slow clap it out.
What is this?
Hey, we've all done that. Come on, you know, can a man unwind? What are we talking about? But I mean, just ridiculous. That is just
Bush League.
From Roger Goodell. You know what? If I'm Roger Goodell, you know what, St. Louis, you're out of the league. Out of the league. And they may very well be after their injuries this week anyway, what they went through. But, oh, my God, thank God we don't live. I hope, please, let that never, ever happen here. As much as a bad rap some of the fans take in this area for not yelling and screaming and being spoiled and all that stuff, I think there's a lot of truth to it. I also think there's a lot of truth to security guards saying people to sit down during games, which is just baffling to me why that happens. You know, I'm not talking about swearing. I'm talking about, you know, just being able, when you go to a football game, you should be expecting to stand the whole game or expecting people to stand the whole game. That's just the way it is. And if you don't like it, don't go. But that's, you know, we go into that every year. But I hope to God we never come to that kind of make a video running on the Jumbotron. I mean, that is so embarrassing. I can't even tell you. And I'm surprised. I'm sure late night talk show hosts are going to bring it up and just, I mean, that is, that's got to be humiliating. I don't know. I don't know what marketing strategist came up with that in St. Louis, but you should be fired. That is a complete embarrassment to everybody. You think that's going to rally the troops at Ram home games? You know what rallies the troops?
Well, if you were a man, I would punch you. I'd punch you right in the mouth.
Win games. That's what rallies people. Win the damn game. And I know there were issues last week, and I thought St. Louis would play.
Hello, you play to win the game.
That's right. Tell him, Herm. And here's another thing as I close out the show real quick. Sunday night, and this is why I really have a hard time putting, I just don't respect a lot of these national analysts. There are some I have a lot of respect for. Guys like Phil Simms. Guys like Boomer Esiason. Tony Dungy, who could, right before kickoff on Sunday night, comes out and says, the Jets will win big. The Jets will win. And Rodney Harrison, who I was shocked at, goes, yep, probably. And that's how they kind of ended it and went to the Meadowlands. Why would anybody think in that game? Why? I mean, if you are, and this is Tony Dungy, a coach I have a lot of respect for as a coach. Why would anybody have thought Dallas was going to go in there and get killed in that game is beyond me. Now, we can rip Tony Romo and Jerry Jones all they want, but when you look at that matchup, there was no way in hell the Jets were going to walk all over that team. They should have lost to them outright, and they should have lost big. That game was given to them. But how a guy like Tony Dungy, who's been around football forever, comes out and just says, well, I think, you know, the Jets are going to pummel them, or I think the Jets are just going to win big. They're going to win big. How do you come to that conclusion? He wasn't the only one, by the way. I don't get it. These guys watch football. They see it all the time. There's no possible way you could come to that conclusion about that game on Sunday night. Sorry. Maybe it's just, I'm not talking about my football knowledge is any better or worse than anybody else's, but my God, just as a neutral observer, not even talking about Jets hatred, why would anybody think Dallas was going to go in there and lay down like dogs and not be competitive in that game? I don't know. Anyway, we're back tomorrow here on Patriots.com. Again, we'll have the Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe in the first hour from 4 to 5, and then more breaking down of the Patriots and the San Diego Chargers as we get ready for the Patriots home opener Sunday at 4:15. Thanks to Kevin. Thanks to Matt for producing this whole thing. Have a great and safe rest of your Wednesday. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 p.m. Bye-bye.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
Hello, you play to win the game.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.